Well, praise the Lord. This morning we're going to go back into our teaching series that I had started and really is seated in heavenly places. And one of the things that we found out in the opening teaching that we had done was, where we're seated. And we're seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. And we're dealing with the areas of authority. In other words, where we're seated or the place or position that we hold. It's just like in life, everybody holds some kind of position somewhere in a family. There has to be authority somewhere along the line, but people fall in the areas of position. We do it in our jobs, the places that we work at. But one of the things that we need to understand is our position. There's nothing like having a position in a position that would have no kind of authority into anything wouldn't be much of a position at all. There are in this, sometimes people are given positions in things they give them a title. What we call, you got a title? And some people like that. They like to have titles. They don't have any authority, but they got a title. And to them, that's the big deal, is having a title. But there's no point to having a title or a position if you don't have authority to operate in that. I mean, what good, just think about it. I mean, we get driver's license. They give us a driver's license, and that driver's license authorizes you, it gives you an authority to drive a vehicle. Now, on that driver's license has to, on the size of vehicles that you're authorized to drive, you'd have to get different ones, but it gives you authorization. And we need to understand this. Most of Christianity doesn't really have the concept that we're authorized really than anything other than, well, you obey God, you do this or you do that. And basically it's more of a slave or a servant mentality, not really, that you hold any position of anything. And last week, one of the things that we talked about, because the revelation that Jesus Christ gave to Kenneth E. Hagin back in December of 1952, which was really new to the church world because of what people preach. And I find it's very interesting today because most of the church world don't even preach on the subject, much less preach the wrong thing they don't even preach on. You will find very little preaching on dealing with the devil and how to deal with him and they don't talk about it like it doesn't exist. Now, we're not glorifying the devil. We want to glorify the authority that God gave us over the devil. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's not asleep and he don't slumber either, if you haven't noticed. He's wide awake and he's doing things. And if we don't put a stop to him, and we need to understand, we have to put a stop to him. God's not. In that vision that Kenneth Hagin had where Jesus gave him the revelation, we didn't talk about the whole revelation, and we can't. Not in this setting that we're teaching now. But one of the things that the Lord showed him was the fact, and we talked about, there was a demon spirit that while Jesus was talking to him, he sees Jesus, He's standing there, he's looking and seeing Jesus. Jesus is talking to him about how demons operate and what they do. And he had scriptural basis for it of what the devil does. But while that was going on, this little demon started making this black smoke started coming up. He said, he called him a little imp. He said, just a little guy, little thing. And he started making all this smoke. And he said, after a while, he couldn't see Jesus. He could hear him talking, but he couldn't see him. Then all of a sudden, he said, this little guy started screeching and screaming real loud, yakety yak, yakety yak, and doing it so he couldn't hear Jesus anymore. And so he said, in his mind, he's thinking, while he's watching there, he's thinking, don't Jesus know that I can't hear him and I don't see him? And he said, he's sort of in a panic because he said, I'm missing this revelation. Jesus didn't stop talking. There's one thing need to know about God. Because you don't do what you're supposed to do, God don't quit talking whether you can hear him or not. You may miss it, but it may be your fault. See, Jesus didn't turn around and say, well, no, because he couldn't hear me. Jesus never did tell him what he said in between there that he didn't hear. And it taught Kenneth Hagin a good lesson, and it's a lesson we should learn. Because this thing kept going on, and finally Kenneth Hagin said, I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden I just said, in the name of Jesus, stop it! And he said, this little imp just hit the dirt, and he said, the smoke went away and stopped, and he said, he just sat there and he whimpered and whined. And Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin, if you hadn't done that, I couldn't have done anything about it. And he said that just upended his theology because he questioned Jesus three times about that. Jesus, hold it. You couldn't have said you couldn't do anything about it. You said you wouldn't do anything about it. He said, no, I didn't say that. And he went back to Jesus again on it. Hold it. I can't be hearing right. Because see, what they had the idea was is the fact of you asked Jesus to take care of everything. This is what you do. And Jesus said, I couldn't. And that's where Jesus took Kenneth E. Hagin over to Matthew. And we used a scripture. We talked about the scriptures last week dealing in, where he talked to him in Matthew, the 16th chapter. In Matthew, the 28th chapter. And in verse 18, Jesus said to him and used this scripture. In verse 18, he said, and Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth and on earth. And he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he told them to go, you know, to make disciples of all nations. But Jesus said, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus said, when I sent them out, I delegated the authority of the earth to man. See, he has all authority in heaven and earth. Well, it wouldn't do any good to send people out if they didn't have the authority. Tell people to go do something and they don't have authority to do nothing. If the devil can still dominate and can still rule, it wouldn't have been any good for Jesus to send people out. What good would that have done? What good would that have done? And see, he said, all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and he delegated all the authority of his authority in the earth to man. That's what he did. He delegated it to man. So man was given the authority, and Jesus said, I can't do anything about the devil. Man, if there's anything done in this earth about the devil, man has to do it. Man must do it. And you know, one of the things that dealing with that, I said I would read part of it. In the beginning of that there, in the bulletin on the vision, Randy Greer, he wrote there, he said, the Spirit of God had been saying to me over and over lately that the most important message for the church today is understanding and exercising its authority over evil spirits. He said, don't allow the devil to take advantage of you, your family, or your finances. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, he said, according to Matthew 18:18. It all begins with you. Use the mighty name of Jesus Christ to stop satanic assignments against you. Now, one of the things is, and I'm going to talk about, I didn't know if I was going to talk about any of that today or not, but the Holy Spirit's just been sort of prompting me concerning last night with what the Lord was speaking to me about. And I had said some of these things before, but the Holy Spirit brought back to me last night, reminded me back in the early 80s and that stuff with the teachings along this line. In the Spirit-filled church, they were talking along these lines. When I came in the kingdom, I know Kenneth Hagin and his some of his books out dealing with demons and that stuff. He had a three little book series. There were small books. Not the real little ones back there, but they were short books. They weren't very long, but dealing with the areas of his vision that he had in the 1952 vision, and other things for Scripture dealing with demonic powers. And those things were being taught, and not just by him, that was taught by others. And there was a lot of things going around about that. And so last night, one of the things that the Holy Spirit dealt with me about, he spoke to me about why things have gotten the way that they are in the church world and in our nation. And he told me about, because one thing, see, nothing will change without you and I gaining revelation from God. If whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, therefore we are the key. Just like if we go over and read is what in Matthew the 16th chapter where Jesus spoke to Peter and said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He spoke that to him there. And understand this. He also, in the 18th chapter, he had spoken about that again in another light. But the whole thing of it is dealing in the areas of the key. So what the church keeps trying to give Jesus has the keys. We don't. The church keeps dealing with it. And we need to understand that we have the keys. Whatever we bind on earth, heaven gets behind. Or whatever we let go, Heaven lets it go. We determine whether God's power is going to do anything in the earth. God doesn't. We determine that. And we got to get, if we don't take our place of authority, nothing gets done. Or what we allow to go on, it's going to go on. Or what we bring a stop to going on. See, we can allow good to go on, or we can stop good from going on. The church has done well at that. They've done well because the church believes much wrong doctrines, all kind of wrong things. The church has brought a lot of good to stop because of their ignorance, not knowing things and knowing what to do. And it's important that we understand in the Word of God what to do. But you know, there's one of the things is God was revealing things. And what happened is back then there was teaching in that area. So people got information. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can't cast out devils. The Bible tells us, Jesus said he cast out devils by the finger of faith. That's how you do it. If you don't have faith cast out devils, you're wasting your time. You can ask God to do something, do whatever you want. You're going to have to deal with demonic powers. We cast it out by faith. Faith comes by hearing in the Word. If people aren't being taught, there's no faith to deal with the devil. Right now, the general church in America has no faith whatsoever to deal with demonic powers. Generally, they have no faith. Well, it's not being taught. If it's not taught, there's no faith to deal with it. I don't care if you know it's a devil. You can't get rid of him if you don't know what to do. As I used an example, you know, of when I was started off, you know, and Wanda and the kids were sick, and I just got born again, and Wanda wasn't even saved at the time. But here I was sitting and, you know, at work and not knowing what to do or going on because, you know, I just got saved a few weeks ago. And the devil was living in my house because I had let him in there. But he was down there living in there and everybody was sick. But the Lord spoke to me at work and told me and spoke to things and told me to go look at certain scriptures. And I went down and looked at the scriptures. See, he took the scriptures so faith will come. There's one thing is you need to identify what's talking to you. There's one thing as I learn about God dealing with me. He always deals with me with scripture. The Holy Ghost takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. And the Holy and Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's going to lead you in line with the Word. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't have proof that God can do anything if you don't have Scripture to back it up. What do you have to stand on it? The Holy Spirit will always lead you in line. You always need, this is why we need to understand and know the Word of God. See, then He showed me what to do in the Scriptures and told me to go home and throw the devil out of my house. Well, I didn't know at that time. I didn't know at that time about the things that it was my job to go throw him out. God wasn't going to throw him out. He told me how to do it, how I had to go do it. See, most people are always looking for something else or somebody else or God or something to deal with things. And, you know, when a person's a baby Christian, you may be able to get away with that. But, you know, you can't go along your life always looking for somebody else to deal with the devil. And I want you to understand why. Because he will come back. And you can't, and somebody else ain't going to be able to take care of him for you all the time. You need to take your place of authority. You know, I don't need to wait till I get, you know, to somebody's special meeting so I can go get the devil taken care of. Dear God, I want him taken care of when the problem's there. I don't want to have to wait, you know, 6 weeks till the next meeting. That's the way Christianity's been living. They've been living that way. They've been living off of prayer chains. They've been living off that. There's nothing matter with having a prayer chain, but you better know how to do something yourself. Your faith needs to be able to get the job done. You know, just giving areas a prayer chain. Boy, you know, these people turn around prayer chains. I'll never forget this. Young Christian, in fact, I was only born again for about 3 years. Well, less than 2.5 years. 2.5 years, I was born again. And I was at Kenneth E. Hagin's camp meeting out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I don't know if God did why, you know, I have sometimes in running into people's most incredible thing. I often wonder, how did I ever run into these folks? And this woman, who I found out, she was one of the leaders of the prayer chain of a major Christian network on TV. And she was one of the heads of the prayer team. And I'm going to tell you what, she was one of the most messed up people I ever met in my life. Most sinners I know had more sense than she did. And I thought, she got talking to us, asking us to pray about her and her husband and her family. Dear God, the devil owned these people. And they're running a prayer ministry for others? And I thought, I'd never ask her to pray for me. She is so squirrely and her thoughts about stuff are so crazy. I thought, people call in there to get prayer. No telling, you probably end up getting a worse devil than you got. You know, you need to know, just because somebody's on TV and saying they're doing something, I don't care if they say it. I want to know some facts and figures. You know, I don't just because some preacher says he's doing something. You know, we had preachers, major preachers on TV back some years ago. We're doing all this stuff about raising money for orphanages in Haiti. And they were all lying. None of them had an orphanage in Haiti. And hardly any of the money that people sent ever went to an orphanage. And major ministers. I don't even call some guy says he's doing something. You know, another major minister years ago said about he was helping to build a church, this huge church over in Hungary. The guy wasn't even involved in the project or nothing. The people over there didn't even know who he was. You know, people just gullible. I'll tell you what, I believe this over the years. I bet half the money that's went into Christianity has been thrown away. Why? Folks, it's our fault. We don't check. Don't blame the minister. I always check. I check with people. I don't give. I'll tell you what, if some guy comes on, I don't care if it sounds like a good thing to do. If God knows what's going on, I'll ask him about it. If I don't get any unction to give to it, I don't give to it. It's too many times I found out all the squirrely stuff going on and all the things they're telling you ain't, loads of times ain't true. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about people who've been to big guns. Will lie to you. I can prove it. I'm not talking hearsay. See, we need to listen to the Holy Ghost. We need to listen to God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a devil out here, and he's doing things. And if we don't hook up with the Word of God, and we don't know what God's Word's doing and saying, one thing is flowing in line with the Word of God. But anyhow, you know, God, I was talking about God leading me in line with the Word. You've got to follow in line with the Word. If you want to hear from heaven, you're going to have to follow in line with the Word. You know, God will turn around. It's number one, if you don't know much about the Word, there's going to be little the Holy Spirit can talk to you about. Because you wouldn't know if it was God or the devil. I've had people tell me that, you know, they've had God tell them certain things. And when I heard what they said, I knew sure well God didn't tell them that. Because their scripture speaks opposite of that. But they heard a voice. I don't care if you hear a voice. I don't care if you hear an audible voice. I don't care if an angel appears to you. He don't talk in line with the Word. The discussion ends. We ain't going there. I ain't interested in your vision if it ain't scriptural. Not interested. Hallelujah. We want to find out. Is it in line with the Word? Is it what the Word teaches? There's a standard to find out. You know, you just can't go by voices. The Bible tells us there's all kind of voices out here, isn't there? It says there's all kind of, none of them without, that aren't important, don't have a distinction. All of them do. It says there's many. Well, we better find out which ones are doing the talking. The devil come along and talked to Jesus even using a scripture. But he used it in a wrong way. You know that just because scripture is quoted. Over the time, I've heard people preach and use scripture the wrong way to get something they wanted. You got to know. I'll tell you, and this is why, you know, following God. But we're over in this area where God is teaching people, and God was teaching me from the beginning. And last night, the Lord began to speak to me about how He had taught me. And it is interesting because I never realized the amount of revelation that God had given to me. Last night, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me of all the things that where God had led me along the lines of dealing with the area, with dealing with demons, and giving me revelation concerning what Kenneth Hagin taught and other things that in dealing with demons and things about the Scripture says. And I know with sometimes with dealing, I had two dreams back when I was an early Christian, two dreams, and in those two dreams, were a revelation of how demons operated concerning people, what they were doing. And so gave me a revelation. It dealt with some people that I knew and things that were going on. But in that, through the dreams, really was a revelation of how the Holy Spirit works and how God works in seeing what the devil's doing. You need to understand this. You know, just because we think something's a devil, don't make it the devil. There's many times people do things, and it's them, it ain't the devil. And we need to understand in dealing with these things, but many times we don't know. There are people out here that are sick, and they can pray for healing all they want, and they ain't ever going to get healed because they're dealing with a demonic problem. And if the demonic problem is not dealt with, it ain't going away. It's not going to stop. You got to deal with the demon. Healing anointings do not cast out demons. And we need to know, it's another thing. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin in his teaching talking about demonic powers, using your authority. He talked about the fact of, he said, you have to know that there's a demon involved in it, not you think so. See, faith don't, I assume this is what's happening. That ain't faith. Faith is based upon facts. You'd have to know that it's a devil to cast it out. You have to know it. So, and that's one thing, is the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Most of the time I know about a demonic problem, usually by a word of knowledge comes to me on a thing. I've had some times where the Lord has spoke to me specifically, telling me certain things. But lots of times it operates through me, through a word of knowledge. Sometimes some people have the manifestation of the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is not the gift of discernment. The discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit realm. It's discerned to be able to see into the spirit realm. When that operates and goes into operation, you get to see into the spirit realm. And when you see in the spirit realm, you're not always going to just see demons. People that always see demons all the time, it's probably a lot of fake stuff involved in that. God don't just show you demons all the time. A lot of people get over into that stuff. Like they see a demon everywhere and in everything, you know, and they talk crazy stuff. I remember a woman coming to me one time and, you know, wanted me to deal with the demons that were in her curtains. And I said, first we got to get him out of your head. We don't get him out of your head because he lives there and he rules and reigns. You know? So I just take a curtain down and go burn the suckers. I mean, dear God, space cadet. Yeah, they're going to live in your curtains. Oh, folks, I've had things over the years said to me, and sometimes the people, and I mean, they're just downright serious. The people live, see, stuff gets flaky. Well, that was one of the things that happened. The Lord showed me how, because there is a real and there's a false concerning dealing with demon stuff. And the church got into the false and dealing with things, not following Scripture. And the Lord said to me that back in the 80s, back in the 1980s, that really, His intent and His purpose was to bring the deliverance ministry, which hasn't been seen in the church for a long, long time. And in the 80s, God wanted to bring the deliverance ministry back. If anything today, shall I tell you something? We need the deliverance ministry desperate. There's more Christians got demonic problems than a little bit. Loads of Christians have demonic problems. I'm not saying these things are scary, but they haven't been dealt with, and that's why it's been going on. It ain't been teaching. People ain't resisting the devil. People ain't been, because, you know, all the problems, it's all just natural if we do this. You know, it's today the amplification. You know, my words, if you get sick, you just eat health food. You'll get straightened out. I mean, that's dominant in the church today. You know, well, if you just eat the right thing. I'm going to tell you, the devil don't care what you eat. He's going to eat your lunch and you. If you don't know nothing about him, he's going to own you. He's going to turn around and dominate your life. We need to know. I mean, we need to know there's an enemy out here, and he's doing things. And see, we got all these things in the natural trying to deal with problems because we don't know what's God, what's not, what's demonic, what's angelic. We don't know because things aren't being taught. They're not taught, and people have no faith in them. And so the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me last night, and he said the intent was to bring that move of the Spirit in. And he talked about how he taught me over in that area to flow, dealing with demons. You know, sometimes like not knowing it's demon. I'll never forget, we had a, Josh is a young Christian. We had a neighbor lady who was a nice couple next door from us. Well, they lived like two doors up. But they were a nice couple. And she got pregnant and had a little baby boy. When she had this baby boy, she got so possessive about him. I mean, nobody was allowed to hold him and touch. Man, she got really possessed about it. And I thought, man, this is weird. You know, she was a nice lady until she had a baby. She wasn't a nice lady anymore. You know, it was like she was really, this was strange. And I thought, man, this is weird. But I didn't know if it was a devil or what. I'd asked the Lord about it. I said to the Lord about it because, you know, you like the neighbors. We're nice neighbors. But now she's really strange. And I could tell it was really causing problems between her and her husband and things going on. And that. And so you just don't know. You know, you're praying for them. But one night I just, you know, going to bed, going to sleep, and I just started dozing into a sleep. And all of a sudden a voice awoke me. In fact, it startled me. And all the voice said was, "You command that spirit to leave her in the name of Jesus." That's all I heard, the voice. But automatically I knew it was about her. That's the thing that always amazes me about God. He talks to you, he says a few words about something, and all of a sudden you know all this stuff. It's like, how does that work? That was pretty cool. You know, if you could just do that, if you could preach that way, it'd be great. Come up, say a few things, and everybody know everything. Dear Lord, I don't know. But he does that. He just spoke, and I've had that happen to me hundreds of times where the Lord has spoken to me some, a few words, and I all of a sudden would just know a whole bunch of stuff. I think, wow, how do you get that? You just say those words, and we all know all that stuff. But anyhow, right there laying in bed, I just took authority over that demon, over her, commanded it to leave her, to cease and desist in its operations over her in the name of Jesus. Next day, she's a different woman. So you know what the church would have done? You go to counseling, you go through all this stuff, and you go through all these things, and you'd have all this stuff, trying to get the stress out of the marriage, trying to help her, trying to do all this stuff, and we're dealing with demonic power. And I have seen that. I've had that happen to me numbers of times, dealing with people, and there's a certain problem coming up, and the Lord tell me, deal with that demon with that thing. And I deal with the demon with it, and the situation would just turn. Lots of times I didn't even know specifically it was a demon involved. The Lord spoke to me about it and told me to. But we need to understand some things in this realm. Well, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost spoke to me about what happened. You folks remember when we were back teaching back in the, when Kenneth Hagin had, prophecies that covered a 5-year period up to 2006. 2006, the glory of God was supposed to be revealed in America. It never happened. The Holy Ghost talked to me last night why it never happened. It's because the church got off. In the 90s, the church started over, and really in the deliverance ministry, people got into huge error. They got into all kind of fanaticism and stuff, and after a while, people were just doing the dumbest things. I mean, they were tying people in chairs in meetings and spending all night trying to cast a devil out, screaming and yelling. I think if you yell real loud, the devil will go. The devil don't. I've cast demons out of things already and bound demons already, and have done it with a whisper of my voice. You know what makes the thing work? Faith. And if you don't know it's the devil, you can say it a million times. That don't change it. You have to know. That's why, you know, we need the Holy Ghost. We need to know what's going on. You need to know if am I dealing with a demon or am I dealing with a person? Which one am I dealing with here? I've been in meetings already. I was at a Kenneth Copeland meeting one time in the lobby, people waiting to get in the service, and this woman got down on the run, thrashing all over the floor, screaming and carrying on and all this stuff. Now, I've known this over the years. If there's a devil, a demon involved, and I'm around with it, I'll know. And I will know if it's not. And this woman, she's down there thrashing. This goes back to about 1980, probably about 1985, somewhere around there. I was a young, you know, I don't know, been born again about 5 years. This woman's thrashed around the floor. All these people are standing around her casting this devil. And the whole time, I have no sense of a devil. And I said to the person I was with, I said, "That ain't demonic. That's her." And you know what? They had somebody from the ministry came out then and deal with her. Found out that's exactly what it was. She was making a scene. She was just drawing attention to herself. Folks, I have had that happen numbers of times where people going through things and they're putting on a show. People just wanting attention. That's what they want. I want somebody to notice me. And that's exactly what was going on. And see, we need to understand these things. Well, this deliverance ministry, the Lord started to deal with me on it, and he said, what happened was this. He said, in the church world, he said, they started getting into extremes, and the extremes really started to get amplified. In fact, in the news media was carrying things and stuff, and there was things on the news media about crazy things that were going on in churches and all kinds of stuff. And things were happening in there. And the Holy Spirit said this, one of the great problems that took place, he said there was the true deliverance ministry, and there was this stuff that got over and got out of line, which was false stuff, dealing with it. And he said what happened was, because of all the amplification of the bad, the people that knew how to walk in the real quit. They quit the real ministry. And that happens all the time. You let a subject come up in the church and all of a sudden it starts getting bad publicity, and 90% of the preachers will quit preaching the true because it's affiliated with that bad, and they don't want to, you know, I don't want to look bad. They'll think I'm weird. They'll be reporting on me. Kenneth Hagin got in trouble and rebuked by Jesus, and he saw fire come out of Jesus' eyes. He was got caught up to heaven over the healing ministry because Jesus anointed him to minister to people in healing, and he got so much flack from it. Everybody don't love healing and all that stuff. Understand this. My words. I know people would rather be ministers who'd rather be sick and dying than admit healing's true. Because they've preached against it all their life, and boy, they ain't going to admit they're wrong. No way. We ain't doing that. Well, you know, you get this stuff, this flaky stuff goes on. But Kenneth Hagin got in trouble because Jesus called him up to heaven and asked him what he was going to do about that healing ministry. He said, well, I didn't really plan on doing anything about it. He said, you will or else. He said, I don't like that or else stuff. I'll do it. But what happened? He quit operating in it because of the flack that people were getting because of operating over the area in his areas of ministry. I remember Oral Roberts and that stuff back in the 50s. I remember him running him down and that kind of stuff. And Oral Roberts, you know, because of people. Just over the fact of lifting hands. Oral Roberts used to have a picture and that stuff. It was a promotional picture standing up on the prayer tower with his hands in the air toward God. Oh, who does he think he is? God up there with his hands in the air? Don't think it's strange. I heard my dad make a mention about it. And I said, Dad, the Bible says that we're supposed to lift holy hands. I said, when are you going to obey? The Bible talks about lifting holy hands. Some people say, well, I don't know. I'm embarrassed to do that. Well, get saved. Change your life. Get the embarrassment out of you. You're embarrassed about God. If you're embarrassed about the Word, it ain't going to work for you. Throw the embarrassment out. We got to get rid of this junk in the church. We talk about God. We want God, and we're ashamed of Him. The church world is ashamed of it. We got to preach the truth. Doesn't matter if somebody took the truth and perverted it. We got to keep preaching what's true, whether other people pervert it or not. And see, we left that, and the Holy Spirit said, this is what started the thing. And He said, the deliverance ministry and the knowledge concerning demonic powers was lost. And He said, the nation today is in its condition because the church cannot deal with the demonic powers that are going on in the earth. They know nothing about it. Hey, the world ain't going to deal with demonic powers. I mean, you know, you can go listen, you know, to radio and that stuff and go on the radio and listen to the conservative, you know, pundits talking and they're doing their thing. How many of them ever hear them, oh, no, we need to do this politically, we need to do this or that or the other thing? How many of them said, you know, a major problem we've got is demons, you know? They don't ever mention it. Why? Because they don't have the answers. You know, everybody listens to these people all the time. You know, it doesn't mean things that they say are specifically wrong or wrong about what's going on. But the answer to this stuff is, if they had the answers to it, things would have been fixed a long time ago. We're dealing with demons in this nation. And we're dealing with demonic powers ruling the church. They can rule. If I don't have knowledge, they can rule me. Now understand, the devil was ruling in my house till God gave me a revelation of how to throw him out. Till I got the knowledge to throw him out, I was living with the devil. And he was winning. He was winning, man. And the Lord spoke to me about what to do. And I remember some, you know, months later, about getting, when I saw Kenneth Hagin had some books on their demons, I got them and read them. And boy, I wish I'd had those back before. That would have been a lot of help because I didn't know much. I only knew what the Lord told me that day concerning demonic powers. I knew that day. Well, I learned some more things after that, learned how to deal with them and things about them. But there is a true deliverance ministry. I remember back years ago, the deliverance ministry, they went through this thing. They would actually come, you know, there's times and things that have happened where people had demons cast out of people and people have thrown up and everything else and stuff like that. Well, they started, because that happened, they started having, literally, throwing up meetings. And they would go to meetings, and I'm serious. Large churches have meetings. And everybody have, you know, like the airplane throw-up bag, you know. They started doing that stuff. And they'd literally go through doing it. And born again, spirit-filled Christians would go to those meetings and they would go, and I thought, people dumb as ministers, TV ministers were involved in it and everything else. People said, like, my God, cast the devil out of them. This is ignorance gone to seed, man. This is just stupidity. And they're doing these kind of things. Then they got over, well, we're going to deal with demons. They got into this thing that, well, they would literally do this. They would give people swords and they would run around and scream and yell and whip these swords. We're fighting the devil. Do you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to fight the devil. It doesn't tell us to fight the devil. I'm not fighting the devil. He's fighting me. But I'm not fighting the devil. I have dominion over him. I'm not trying to defeat Satan. I don't have to. He's already a defeated foe. When we deal with demons, you know, really, the church is an occupying force in the earth. We're the occupiers. Let's say, you know, like in the Second World War, we had Germany and Japan, and they're defeated. The United States had military presence in both those countries and kept them there. They were occupying forces. They were to enforce the rules that were set up in there. They, in a sense, were like a policeman. They weren't there to fight the Germans or fight the Japanese. They were an occupying force. Why? Because Japan and Germany were defeated. The reason the devil don't listen to Christians is because they're trying to defeat him. Our theology is wrong. It's not right. Faith comes by hearing the word. God honors his word, not what I think about it. Satan is defeated already. He has no authority. Sin has no dominion over me. The author of sin is Satan. He has no dominion over me. I'm not trying to get dominion over the devil. I own it. It was given to me by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ won the dominion. We already have the authority. We're not trying to get it. See, the theologies are all wrong that are taught out here. They're not biblical, so the devil can reign. I don't have to see what they would do is they try to defeat the devil. Well, what they did is they read over in the Old Testament about they'd go up to the high places. Ministries would literally rent planes and get people to fly up in the air to fight the devils. You know, go over there and they were praying. And then they had this thing, they start warring tongues. And warring tongues were tongues when you pray in tongues, you pray screaming at the top of your lungs. That's warring tongues. They started all this kind of stuff. Folks, major ministries did this kind of crazy stuff. They had this stuff going on. People still doing all kind of crazy stuff and people love it today. Crazy stuff. Getting over there, you know, the whole thing is what? They're out here fighting the devil. They got over this thing of intercession and intercession, fighting the devil. I don't see in anywhere in Scripture tells me to pray concerning the devil. I pray to God in the name of Jesus. I don't pray to devils. I don't go to prayer with the idea to fight devils. We're not called to do that. Just one of the revelations when I got out of Bible school, and I'd told this before, but I got out of Bible school and they were having a so-called, quote, intercessory prayer meeting, the church I was at. And there, and the pastor asked me to take over the prayer, the so-called intercession that they were having on Friday nights. And I went into it, and it was no more intercession or things of prayer. Well, they were just taking prayer requests and pray for them, but they really didn't have any direction of prayer to accomplish anything. It's okay to take, you know, things of people's prayer requests, but you even got to limit those kinds of things because people, everything on the sun will give you stuff all the time praying about their stuff, you know. We had a prayer meeting years going on in our church some years ago, and we'd get people would come up. They wouldn't come to the prayer meeting, but they would come and asking us to pray for their stuff, people in the church. And I told them, if you ain't interested in coming, I ain't interested in praying your problems. If you don't need to be here to pray about them, I ain't going to bother praying about them either. They ain't that important. Well, I have things to do. Well, I said, so do I. I got stuff to do. You live with the devil. Have a good time. See, they had no concern about anybody else's problem. It's always getting... That's what this prayer team stuff has come around to. And you call prayer chain. It's why don't I have to pray, get somebody else to do. Say, do you pray for others? No, I ain't got time. I just... getting somebody else, pray for me. Pray for me. But see, we open the door by allowing the devil to get involved into things because of lack of knowledge. And if we have lack of knowledge, there is no way that we're going to deal with demonic powers. People need to know if a demon's involved. Right now in America, we have more demons than a little bit. Many countries in the earth, missionaries are having greater success than they can have in America. America's full of demonic stuff. People yielded to it. You can't not yield to devils. You don't know about it or how it operates. You're going to yield to things. That's just one, and you're going to put up with stuff that you don't have to put up with. You're going to put up with things, and you're going to think, well, I hear people sometimes say, well, this is just wait, you know, problems come in life. Problems come in life, but some people, why they come, you know, a dozen at a time. There's reasons for that. It's because people's lack of knowledge, and they let things go. Things that keep persisting for long periods of time. You know, some natural things you can sort of look at, you know, with people. I remember Kenneth Hagin just told a natural thing, and I found out it was very, very good. He said that lots of times, he said, if you find that doctors have medication to take care of a certain problem, but he said people will take that medication and it don't help them. He said there's probably a good chance there's a demonic power involved there. It's not dealing with medicine. So what you're going to do is have to find out if it is. You don't just take it because of that. Sometimes you can get people will do things too, you know, can cause problems. And sometimes with demons, the manifestation of certain things. You know, we have in the Bible, there's a guy who's having seizures. Well, it wasn't nothing wrong with his brain in epilepsy. It was a demon. Had to be cast out for him to get straight. Now, in America, we don't. You give drugs. Drugs will keep the demons. And, you know, that'll... You give a drug. Well, thank God for the things that they're able to do, but you have to know the difference. A person can get set free. You got to know what's going on. And this is where it comes on. If you don't understand these things, you'll never talk to God about the right things. You'll always assume it's healing that a person needs or this or that or the other thing. And you don't deal with God about what's really going on. And so we've ended up in this mess right now, really dealing in this area. And I want to share with some things to you, scripture that the Lord told me to today. I want to go over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And this really, in my series where I was looking at teaching, this was going to go on toward the end, but the Spirit of God spoke to me and put it in my heart last night to go over to this today. And I want you to go into Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we want to see some things. I want to emphasize some things that is going to help you to understand from the standpoint of what we do. Because really, Christians have been taught wrong about things, and so we get into circumstances and what we do concerning things sometimes is we're talking about, we just keep praying about it. We call pray, 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 pray. Sometimes that gets you further away from God than closer to, because a lot of prayer is done in unbelief. The prayer is not done by faith. It's wasted wind that can hurt you more than help you. I've watched people over the years get further away on things and created great problems because of continually praying in unbelief. And after a while, they couldn't believe a thing. You try to straighten them out in their mind. They have prayed so long in their unbelief and doing things, they can't hear anything anybody else is saying. They just head down their own road. Now, in Ephesians 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul writing to them. Now, the church at Ephesus, her church at Ephesus, he's given them wonderful revelation. We've used that concerning prayers where we find out the authority Jesus was given in the position of the church. Paul says to them, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He said, be strong in the Lord. In the power. You be strong. You know, that's something that you determine. It didn't say God will make you strong, did it? You be strong. See, we need to know as a church, one of the things that dealing with the church, God's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not trying to get it. We have it. When you pray to God and talk to God like you're trying to get something He already gave you, you're in unbelief. You're telling God to give you something you already got. Wouldn't that be stupid? You know, you got $1 million in your wallet and asking me for $1 million, you know. This has been the church world. The church world, He said, be strong. Now, this ain't the first time. You go back to the Old Testament, and what did God tell Joshua? You be strong. I'm going to tell you what, get some backbone, folk. I'll tell you, we got the whiningest bunch of socialists in this world, in this nation, and the church is full of them. The church is one of the dominant places of socialism. And if somebody else be strong for me, no, crank it up. Go over last Tuesday, I got talking about the Lord dealt with me about being a soldier when I first got born again and dealing with things and told me in spiritual growth, and he used me, he went back over my training in the military to tell me how if you want to grow up spiritually, you got to be disciplined. You got to set yourself. It ain't going to just happen to you. I'm just going to tell you this. Just attending church ain't going to make you a good Christian or a strong Christian. I'm going to tell you what, it's a training and a practice that you got to do. You train. When I was in the military, we trained constantly. Even when you weren't fighting, you were training to fight. We didn't wait till the battle started, then you start training to fight. I'm going to tell you what, you get good at it before you go into the battle. You get good at healing before you go into the healing battle. You put it to a practice beforehand. People don't. So you're going to have to train. We have a lot of laziness in the church world today. It's a lot of laziness because we got over in this thing of this, you know, communication age. And there ain't no communication at all. It ain't nothing but airheads passing stuff around and ain't nobody doing nothing. Nobody's doing a thing. We talk about all kinds of stuff, but nobody does nothing. And they're always looking for somebody else to do it. Whatever they do want done, they're looking for somebody else to do it. And don't worry, kingdom of God ain't like that, and that's why the church is in a great weakness. Kenneth E. Hagin said this years ago. He said this. He said, God wants a Christian to have a backbone like a crowbar, and he said, most of them have a backbone like a string. I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't a fighter, you got trouble, because I tell you, the devil's going to knock the snot out of you, because he fights, and you better know how to stand. And I tell you what, don't get in his face with a whine in your voice. I'm not talking about your last name. Don't get in his face, because I'll tell you, he detects a whine, he'll slap you. And then you'll have a lot to whine about. I'm going to tell you what, it comes down to some things. We need to come back where the church again becomes the soldiers of God instead of being, you know, we're on the sideline. I'm sorry, I'm not really a soldier. You know, I'm just a weekend warrior. We only do this in the weekends. We go to church and play like we like God. Then we go home the rest of the week and the devil does whatever he wants. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Ed. We got to get, we're in a battle. Hey, we're in a battle. We're in a battle for our nation. I'm going to tell you, if the wrong person ends up in office in this presidential election, America's finished. You can pray night and day for America. It ain't going to do you no good, man. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to walk in glory while the nation goes down the tubes. And loads of the Christians are going down the tubes with the nation because they've helped it get here and they know nothing about getting it out. There needs to be changes. So he tells us to be strong, just to decide you're going to do that. Decide you're going to be strong. I'm going to be strong. I ain't going to be weak. You don't get being strong walking around talking about your problems all the time. You don't get to be strong whining about stuff and every little problem comes off, every little emotion you get or feeling you get, you let it run your life instead of standing against it. You don't stand against it. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And don't say whine about it and every little problem and I'll just keep praying about the devil. I'll just keep praying. I'll just keep. Well, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work at all. Now, Paul told the church at Ephesus, well, they need, now they got to be strong. He said, be strong and put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that word wiles is used there. I guess from you know, in older English, that probably people understood that. Really, what it deals with is deception. It's a deception. It's deception that somebody does against their enemy to deceive their enemy. The Bible says that the devil is a deceiver. The devil don't out and out come to you right off the bat and say, you know, I'm ugly, I just want to kill you. He'll come up and play your buddy to deceive you. He'll help you along in prospering at the things that are leading you away from God. And tell you, hey, this is God helping you. Oh, good preaching anyhow, Ed. Hallelujah. Why? We're supposed to put on the armor of God for this so we can stand against. So we can stand against this. These things are going to come. You're going to have to learn to stand against them. He said, put on the armor of God. Then he tells us about our enemy. Who's our enemy? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's our enemy. We're dealing with demonic powers. We talked about last week the first thing that Jesus Christ, in Mark 16, Jesus Christ said concerning the believers, the guys that believe on him, well, number one, they're going to cast out Jesus. They cast out devils in Jesus' name. That's what they're going to do. They're going to cast out devils. He said that was first on the list. Everybody always moves down to that laying hands on sick at the end. I'm going to tell you, keep laying hands on the sick and you don't deal with the devil, he'll own you. After a while, you'll be laying your hand on you all the time trying to get you fixed and won't be able to do it. I'm going to tell you, Paul tells this church, the enemy you put on the armor of God for is not some guy, some thing, some sickness, some this. He said, so you can stand against this deceitful enemy that's trying to come against you to deceive you. And it is a spiritual force. There are spiritual forces that have to be dealt with. And understand about these spiritual forces. They manifest things into the spirit realm, into the natural realm, and they do it through people. And they'll do it through a Christian. If Christians don't resist, Satan, and they yield to Satan, he'll manifest himself through them. We put on the armor of God. Now, listen to what he says. 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And now listen to this. And having done all to stand. There's a principle here that the church needs to learn. He said when you've done everything that you're supposed to do, did he say just keep praying and keep doing this and keep doing that? Did he say that? Did he say what? He said stand. This is a principle that you need to learn and understand. Here's where the Satan deceives many Christians many times. I found over the years, majority of Christians fall for this. And most of you have fell for it. I've fell for it already, and I'm sure most of you have already fallen for it numbers of times. You come along and make a stand. You know in your heart you're in faith. You say the right thing. You make a stand against something. And something don't change immediately. And what happens? You start going back over everything again. I wonder what I'm doing wrong, whatever this and that. And the enemy will come along. And after a while, you know what? I tell you what, I'm making a stand here. But you know, I just got to start. I've probably been to eating chicken that had hormones in it. That's probably what it was. And then start going over to that junk and start listening to those voices. And then we'll go to another thing, and we go to another thing, and after I go, and it says, no, but you've done all the stands, you stand. You know what I've learned concerning the devil? Mike was talking about it really this morning up here. You go along, there's things that come against you, you've got to make a stand, and you've got to walk in the right direction no matter what's happening, no matter, if I don't care if it looks like it's changing. Many times, see, we do in our nation. In our nation, you know, people say, well, I pray, it don't seem to change a thing. Well, you're in unbelief anyhow. You don't think your prayers work. Now look, I've been there. I remember back in Bill Clinton was president, and I'd be praying for Bill Clinton, and the Lord spoke to me one day. I don't know, see, he must never talk his stuff to you guys. He only talks to me. He talks to me, and he said, it ain't doing you any good to pray for the president. And I said, what are you talking about? It ain't doing me good. He said, you don't believe any of it's working anyhow. He said, I know what you've been saying about it. See, a lot of prayers are worthless. One side we pray, ask God. The other side we speak like it's not working. And I said, well, Lord, you correct. I repent. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. I said, I've sure been. I was praying, but I wasn't standing. I wasn't standing. See, I kept acting like it wasn't work. I kept acting like it wasn't working. I wasn't standing. See, we got to get over here and understand and dealing with things. We come up against stuff. It says, when you've done all, hold a prayer meeting then if it still don't look like it's working. Call on some other people and call your best friends and get them at your home maybe and pray. And then, no, it says, when you've done the right things, when you've done what's right and you're heading the right direction, you got to learn to stand. See, we entered into this time period here after the turn of the century. And I'll tell you what, we got people and they just don't stand. People don't stand anymore. They don't stand for nothing. Everybody's looking for the easy way out. Everybody wants a quick fix. They want McDonald's Christianity. You know, I pull up, I'm going to give God 2 minutes. Hey, pull up. Something don't change. Well, I just don't understand why nothing changed. Hey, if you've done all and stand, you just stand. See, it don't tell us go out and attack the devil, does it? Does it tell us go attack him? See, some people, I'm going to attack the devil. Why would you attack a defeated foe? You know, you've got to treat the devil like he's far beneath you. We treat him like he's a king and he's a wonder and he's a glorious thing. We treat him like he is God. Instead of treating him, you know. You know, it'd be like a little two-year-old come up and tell me he's going to beat me up. The devil can say what he wants to me, but when I've done all, I can stand in his face and he can't do nothing about it. I can stand. When you've done everything, you stand. You take the whole armor of God. Why? That you can withstand the evil day. In other words, there's an evil day will come. Everybody wants this nice little Christian fluff life that don't have any bad days. I'm sorry. You be in the Care Bear kingdom. It ain't the kingdom of this world. It ain't here at this place. There ain't all these rainbows out here. There ain't all this stuff out here and says, ooh, thinking happy thoughts and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you this, an evil day will come. And you know what you do in that day? That's the day when evil day comes, you stand. That isn't me, well, we got to get somebody to do something. Oh, we got to get... That's the day that you stand. When the evil day shows up, that's when you got to make your stand. See, that's one thing the Lord had taught me about years ago, about making my stand. He dealt with me in those areas of learning to stand. When the evil day comes, you've heard me tell the story many times. My daughter had fallen and had a severe concussion, and I'm at work. My wife calls. She's throwing up blood. The Lord had spoke to me that morning because I'd gotten into unbelief and smoked. He said, "I thought you were believing me," and he said, "You've gotten over into unbelief." And I stopped and said, "Yeah, Lord, you're right." He said, "You're looking at the circumstances and you're not standing." I said, "Yeah, you're exactly right. That's where I'm at." See, I don't understand people. God talks to them real nice all the time. My God, if he wouldn't straighten me out, I'd have been dead. That's why so many Christians are dead. All they hear the devil talk to them, tell them they're sweet all the time when they're all messed up. And he told me, he just point blunt to me about my unbelief. So right there in the bathroom while I was shaving, I just stopped and said, "Okay, Lord, I knew what it is getting faith. I got back in faith again." And I said, "Lord, I'm believing you and this is the way it is." 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I get called, work, say, "You got an emergency phone call from her." And my wife's on the phone on the other side saying, "Alyssa's throwing up blood." And I said, "I'll call you back. I want to talk to God." Hung up on her because I didn't want to say no more about this. I didn't have to go to fasting and praying. Standing by telephone, I said, "Lord, what's going on?" And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "I thought you were in faith this morning." I said, "Yes, sir, I'm in faith." I called Wanda back, said, "Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine." Hung up. Didn't give her time to talk. Why? I didn't want her to talk me out of anything. Worst time you ever tell me, too many of you hold discussions with other people and then get all their unbelief in on it. And after a while, you ain't believing nothing. I'm going to tell you, you make a stand. And sometimes you don't even make a discussion. That's why many times if I'm standing on something serious, I don't talk to many people about it. Ain't many people I want to know, because I'm going to tell you what, they're going to start into their ideas and thinking about what's going on. I don't need that. What I need is to make my stand. And I'm going to stand. Hallelujah. Well, I made that stand that day. Well, I tell you, Wanda wasn't happy with my stand for about a half an hour. But in half an hour's over, Alyssa got out of bed completely healed. And I'm going to tell you why it happened. It's because I stood. It's because I stood. If you want to see miracles, you can't keep doing natural stuff all the time. You need to understand that. If you want to see miracles, you have to do things that cause miracles to take place. That day God showed me to do something was a miracle, to bring a miracle to pass. And you know what it was? Don't do anything about that. You just stand and let me do it. Most people say, "Get up the doctor right away, get an ambulance in the house." That's what it had done. Oh, yeah. People talk about trusting God. God taught me to trust in hard places. And he scolded me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm qualified to teach on the subject of faith. I've lived it. I know it. I've looked death in the face and have to have a stand. And I'll tell you what, you got to get backbone in them times. Because when that stuff's going on, you can't play in these. I mean, when people can't take the littlest things and have to run to the doctor to every sniffle and every little thing that's going on and have to have, you know, an opinion and have to have, you know, my God. You know, the chiropractor is going to save the church. You know, if he picks up your bones good enough, it's all going to work. You got lots of luck. That's really worked well. He needs to see you 400 times to get that done. And then it still don't work. There's things that they can do, but I'll tell you, there's loads of stuff they tell you that they can do, they can't do. But I ran into this guy, his name's Jesus, and he can do everything he said. He can do it all. Hallelujah. And there's things that he put into our hands to do, and praise God, we can do them. We're going to have to come to the place where we stand. Listen to what he said. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now I want you, see everybody, I want you to tell this. Throw out the idea, quit thinking about a soldier putting on armor. Paul's using an analogy here, and everybody's focused on armor and breastplates, and that's not what he said to put on truth. What's truth? It's the word. Put on the word. It's the first thing he says. Put on the word. You know? Your belt holds your pants up. Get a belt on that's truth. One that's going to uphold you. It's one that's going to keep your breeches on so they ain't at your ankles and you fall when the devil comes around because you're stumbling all over the place. Your pants are down around your ankles. Put truth on. Now listen to what he says. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to know your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Are you righteous? Or, well, no, nobody's right. None righteous. No, not one. That's why most of the church world is all messed up. I'm sorry. I have been made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That none righteous has to do with sinners. All sinners. There was nobody righteous. Jesus saved us. Now there are righteous. It's called the church. And if you don't know your righteousness, the devil's going to eat your lunch. He's going to eat your lunch in the prayer life. You'll never be able to pray and get nothing done because you always approach God like you're a sinner and trying to get Him to do something for you. You won't approach Him like you deserve to get an answer to your prayer. You'll pray like, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please do something. We can go to God in righteousness and say, Lord God, Your Word says, Jesus Christ Himself said this, Father, that if I ask You anything in His name, You'd give it to me. You can't approach Him like that? Then I'm sorry. You ain't got the armor on. We need to go to be able to walk into the face of God. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace instead of scrabbling around trying to act like we don't belong there, trying to beg the breadcrumbs. Dear God, a sinner woman without a covenant with God got her daughter delivered from a devil in the Bible better than the Jew could walking in your covenant full of unbelief. And Jesus said, woman, your faith is great. Never one time in scriptures do we ever hear Him say that to a Jew. And I'm going to tell you, He don't say it much in the church either. Got too much religion going on. Too much of men's ideas. We're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put righteousness on, glory to God. Get right your righteousness on you. Find out what the Bible says about righteousness and start walking in it. Start living like it's yours. Hallelujah. Gird your loins with truth. Put breastplate of light. What? Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, most preachers preach this. They stop right here and they say, oh, yeah, this is about going out and witnessing the word. I don't know what he's talking about. You put on the gospel of peace. You have peace with God. You need to be peace in your situation where you're facing the wilds. If you ain't peace, you ain't in a place of faith. It don't mean you're peace, the fact that the trouble coming against you, that you lack it. But I'll tell you what, I'm confident. I'm confident God's deliver me. I can stand. I can stand. Listen to what he goes on to say. Above all. Above all. Now, above all of these other things, what are you supposed to take? Taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench some of the stuff the devil might do to you. The Apostle Paul believed that the church could stop everything the devil would try to do. That is definitely not in church theology today. Most Christians' theology is not that at all. Paul believed that the church could stop all the fiery darts that the devil would throw. In other words, we called fiery darts back at that time, what they did to light it, you know, arrows on fire and stuff on fire and shoot it through the air. They would take things and launch them that had, you know, they'd soak them in oil and light them on fire. Today we would be talking about rockets and missiles, you know, what we're doing. But I don't care what it is or how you want it or how bad you think it is. I'm going to tell you what, I don't care if the devil owns atomic bombs. It don't matter. Faith, he said, will stop it all. The shield of faith will stop every bit of it. It'll put a halt to it. See, we got to come to the, you know, these things are in the scriptures, but they're here in scriptures. People read through the Bibles every year, but somehow overlook all this stuff. See, they don't get revelation on it. Religiously reading the Bible, it tells us Every fiery dart of the devil can be stopped. Every one of them. So you got to get that in you. No matter what the devil's doing, you can stop anything he's throwing at you, and there's only one way you can do it. Faith. You got to know how to operate by faith. You got to know what faith is, what it's not. Faith ain't just because I got saved one time and accepted Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, when the devil fires a rocket at you, you better know how to use faith, because you ain't going to say, I'm saved. You're going to be, I'm saved. Then they're going to come out and dig a hole, dump you in, cover it up, put a stone on it. Say, he was saved and God needed another star in heaven. And the devil's standing there over the thing, just laughing and laughing. Said, boy, these Christians are a riot. Do you ever hear the stupid stuff they say? Come on, guys, come over and listen to this. He gets all them other demons coming over. Listen to what this guy said. Yeah. He said, he went on 70, take the helmet of salvation. Take it. You know, put your salvation, your deliverance in your mind. Don't have it just in your heart. Let your mind have the revelation of your redemption in Christ Jesus. Put it on. Hallelujah. Did it say God's going to put it on? No. This armor stuff, we put it on. God don't put none of it on you. None of it gets put on you. It's put on by us. We decide whether we're going to put on the Word of God. We decide whether I'm going to walk by faith. That's all things that deal with our authority. This is us over here. God don't do none of this. God don't make you stand against the devil unless you act on the Word of God and His power will work in your behalf. But you're going to be the initiator. You're always going to be the initiator of the power of God. You are. God is not the initiator of the power. He's already done that by giving us His authority. We initiate. That's why when Smith Wigglesworth said, and you guys heard me say this before, Smith Wigglesworth said, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. Hi, He initiates things. There's things that you initiate. You start doing what the Word says. You initiate in the situation where God's power now can begin to work. But if you do nothing, if you don't bind and you don't loose or you don't do nothing, there's nothing for heaven to get behind. We have all this. God is in control. Yes, the God of this world has been, for most Christians, has been in control. He's been running their lives. God's in, well, the people are dying. You know, it's just like the guy I sat with here a month or so ago, sat down a Christian. Well, you know, whoever gets to be president, that's the guy that God wants. Oh, dear Lord, cast the devil out. He's a born-again Christian. I think he's on one of the boards of the church he goes to. I mean, he is a born-again guy, but he is stupid. And the devil will run our nation because most Christians think that way. Well, if it's happened, God wanted it. I'll take you through this community, and most of the churches think us around here. You want to, the devil runs rampant? The church invites him to run rampant. In ignorance, but nonetheless, they're doing it. Now, no matter, I'm ignorant of it, you know. You know, I might be ignorant a black widow spider can kill me, but if I'm holding one and put it in my pocket, I shouldn't be surprised I don't get a casket invitation shortly. Even though I'm ignorant, that doesn't change the fact of what that spider can do. And we need to know as Christians. Christians are like, well, I'm just going to live in ignorance and God will take care of me. No, God don't take care of stupid people. Haven't you noticed? We're living in a nation of the stupid. Has God been taking care of it? We definitely are. Now, then when he says this. Now, listen to what he says. Now, when we do this, He said, then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, which is all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, praying for the church. I want to say this to you. If you don't know the Word of God and hold it, and you don't understand faith, your prayer life ain't going nowhere. You have to put all this stuff you're supposed to have. He said here, this is the stuff that puts you in the place to pray. This is the stuff that we need going into prayer. Most people are going into prayer as a place of weakness instead of a place of strength. I'm going in here because I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm coming in here because, Lord, I'm just so weak, I just can't. Lord, I just need. You know, sometimes you get tired out, you get run down, do it. But I tell you what, you can't live that kind of life and have God doing something. I'll tell you, most of the time when you go to prayer, you need to be going there strengthened, not going there trying to just get strength. Everybody's always trying to get strength. Dear God, you got the Holy Ghost in you. What do you need? We got the power of God within us. I don't think we need a crowd to change the nation. I don't even think you need a bunch of people at all to change this nation. We just need people to come and take their stand. We just need some people to take their stand. That's all we need. And I tell you, folks, we can do it. We can take our stand. But understand this. If you can't stand for things in your own life, you can't stand for the nation. You got to learn to stand. We got to learn to take the Word of God. We need to find out who and what the Scriptures say we are. I tell you what, with most church world today, man, you can't eat their baby food that they're putting out in their church services and turn around and go to war, because I'm going to tell you what, that stuff won't hold up under any severe conditions. It won't do it. You know, there's one thing, it's about, a military, they used to always say the military runs on its stomach. It does. You know, it takes people out in battle and into war burn up a lot of energy a day. You cannot be turning around and giving, 50 calories. You can't be doing that stuff. You got to feed them, and you got to feed them stuff that'll sustain them in battle. They can't be eating salads all the time. They can't be doing that stuff. And that's what most Christians are nothing when it comes spiritually, are nothing but salad eaters. Spiritually, they never eat any meat. Spiritually, they're always, well, what's the easiest? Well, how can I do this and get away? Or how can I get away with this? You know, over the years, how many times I've had Christians come to me and knowing things that they're doing is wrong, but asking how, sort of like trying to find a way to get around it, they can still do it. And I just tell them, don't bother talking to me. It ain't going to do you no good. We ain't on the same page anyhow. You want to live like hell, you're going to, the devil's going to own you. That's what's going to happen. See, we need to learn to take authority, especially in these areas. I mean, I want you to think about this with Kenneth E. Hagin and his teaching that he did on the areas, just in the areas of finances. In the areas of finances, Jesus Christ appeared to him and told him concerning finances, you got to tell the devil to get his hands off your finances. That's what you have to do. People usually don't deal with that or say a thing about that, never even deal with the devil till they come along and think about it. Say, well, I need some money and that stuff, and I need this and that. And the first one, well, maybe I need to get some more overtime, or I need to get some of this, or I need to get some of that. Did you ever think about telling the devil to get his hands off your money? Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, everything that you need is in this earth. He said, I made everything. He said, the cattle on a thousand hills. He said, the gold and silver is mine. He said, I put that in the earth for my people. He said, I didn't put that in here for the devil and his people. He said, when Adam sold out on me, really, and gave his authority over the devil, he allowed the devil to open the earth. He said, the God in this world, a God of this world, Jesus said, the God of this world is trying to keep it away from you. He said, you need to bind him, tell him to get his hands off of your money or whatever it is that you need down here. You tell him to get his hand off of it. You think you're going to do that one time and that's going to happen? I'm going to tell you. The devil's a lying, cheating scumbag. He's called a thief, the Bible. You know what a thief does? He just keeps being a thief. He'll come back and try to steal again. But we've let the thief come and steal and kill and destroy. We've allowed him to by, yeah, these are nice things we know about the devil, but over here basically live our lives out like, we're just going to, things are going to work out. You know, what are people going to do in this nation if things turn sour, worse, and financially and everything else? You can't keep the devil out of it. You're just going to have to deal with stuff just like everybody else does. The devil's involved in the financial things of this world. And I'll tell you what, the church has allowed him to do it. The church has allowed him. They've allowed it in their own personal lives. They've allowed it. People just turn around and read Christians. I just can't get a job. Well, I said, sure you can't. You said you can't. Dear Lord, your mouth, you're having what you say. Your faith's working great. What are you talking about? Say, you need help? No, you don't need help. You're stupid. You need to shut your mouth. God said he'd bless the labor of your hands. God be looking for you a job because he wants to bless you. You say you can't have a job, you're telling people God's against you. See, most people have read the Bible religiously and don't know a thing about it, sit in church all their life and don't know a thing about the Bible. God said he'll bless the labor of your hands, and it means he wants you to work. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. I follow that really close. If a guy ain't going to work, don't call Ed for lunch. I'll tell you, tell him where I'm at eating. I'll tell him what I'm having. Say, you can have that too. You get a job. You're supposed to tell people the truth in love. The Bible didn't say talk love to them. That's a lie of the devil's been pumped into the church. It says tell them the truth in love. It says tell them the truth in love. I'm going to tell you what, I don't always find the truth so pleasant to Ed. The Lord says things sometimes to me that are not pleasant to me. But I've never said, well, Lord, you're lying. Because when he says them, I know they're, yeah, Lord, you're true. I need to change that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? He never talks to me like he don't like me. He chastens me because I'm a son. Hallelujah. My daddy likes me. I'm one of his favorites. Well, you can be too if you want to. Or talk like, well, I tell you, him saying things like that, who does he think he is? Well, you'll talk like you're not liked very much by him, and we'll see what happens. He thinks I'm wonderful. I haven't read the Bible. He does. He thinks I'm wonderful. See, it's all how you, the view that you get out of the Scriptures, the view you see yourself. Hallelujah. Your relationship with him. He likes him. Even when I mess up, he likes me anyhow. Even when I do dumb. Man, I have done a lot of dumb. And you know what? I have never come boldly to the throne of grace and he said, well, you scumbag, you did this, so I ain't going to talk to you no more. I've done things wrong, repent and go to God, and he talks to me like I never did a thing wrong. Why? When he forgives, he forgets completely. Man, you need to learn those things about him. How he is with you. He knows how to forget completely. He'll act like you never, ever did a thing wrong. I told a story one time how he rebuked me. And I mean, he rebuked me. At H.B. Reese Candy Company, it seemed audible voice to me, but I guess nobody else heard it, but it sure seemed audible to me. To me, when that voice thundered, I thought it shook the building. I thought it shook the building. I mean, everything's just shook. I mean, I shook. I mean, it was just everything just sort of shook. And that voice said, you're disobedient! I'm like... And he never said what it was. It was one of those things again. I knew exactly what it was. Just he never said. I knew exactly what it was about. And I stopped and said, yes, Lord, you told me. You know. And this was about, Lord told me I was praying about an individual. And the Lord had told me to stop praying about that individual. He said, you let that thing alone. He said, they've gotten over there. He was dealing with demonic powers. He said, they got over there on that thing. And they're going to have to straighten it out. They know better. He said, you let it alone, don't you pray. He said, it's going to take them a while to get straightened out. It's going to take them a long time. He said, you let it alone, I don't want you praying about that anymore. Well, I didn't let it alone. Well, I'll tell you, that day I put it down. But the most interesting thing, that day, that voice thundered. And I stood right there. It was the weirdest thing. I never even looked to see if anybody else saw me or what was going on because I was standing in a molding area and these other people working there and I'm just standing there talking to God. I don't know what other people, I never did ask anybody because I don't say, that nut, man, that guy, he's talking to somebody, he's crazy. Well, I was crazy. Well, but I said to the Lord, and I said, yes, Lord, I repent, right? I said, I won't do that anymore, I'll let that alone. I said, you told me to stop, and I didn't. I was going to go push on this thing here, and I wanted to see it change. Well, it wasn't. Well, he turned around and started talking to me just like this thing that just happened never existed. He started talking to me like I'd been listening to him doing what he said and told me what he wanted me to do and then talked to me about going out to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting and he wanted to anoint me there. Give me an anointing. He just yelled at me that I thought it shook the building. You know why? He wanted me to stop so he could anoint me. If I'd have kept heading in that direction, my disobedience would have stopped what he wanted to do. He wanted to bless me and bless other people because it was the teaching anointing. I went out that camp meeting and the teaching anointing came on me out there. The teaching anointing was on Kenneth E. Hagin, came on me out there. See, he wasn't trying to be mean to me. Trying to get me in line so he could bless me and bless other people. That's what it was about. You see, we need to get over. The church needs to really make some changes. You know, a lot of this stuff was pretty well known and people walked in and stuff, some just, you know, back in the 80s and in the 30s, then early 90s and stuff. But a lot of people have left things and we've gotten over. We followed this fluff Christianity. And the church is full of fluff, man. It's all this, you know, tiptoe through the tulips, ukuleles and all that kind of stuff. And we have our little things and all, yeah, we're always going to work out all right. Jesus is going to come back and haul us out of here because all these scumbags out here in the world, they can't, you know, it's too late for them and that stuff. And Jesus, come back quickly because I can't make it. What are we going to do if he don't come back quickly? That means you're going to run into some evil days and you're going to put up with a bunch more evil days. Not this boy. I'm tired of the evil days. I've had ones that I didn't do nothing about. I don't want to do that no more. Hallelujah. We want to make a stand. Let's stand to our feet. Went a long time. But you know, these things need to be said. These things can't be said in 20-minute sermons.